Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Ray Digital Magna 94 WIP. All right, Ray, it is time for our Scheibe Sports Moment of the Week. This week in Philadelphia sports history, brought to you by Scheibe Vintage Sports, where there is a story in every stitch. Shop small and save 25% off of all of their throwback gift ideas. Ray, I take you back to 1989. Young Ray Dittinger in his prime, covering the Philadelphia Eagles for the Philadelphia Daily News. I was a sports writer for the Philadelphia Inquirer at the time, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
Thanksgiving Day, Eagles. Cowboys. Eagles 7-4 under Buddy heading into Thanksgiving. Ray, this was a team of Randall and Reggie and Jerome and Eric Allen, and so much fun. Loved that team. Cowboys, Jimmy Johnson's first year, 1-10.
Yeah, they were pathetic.
Oh, and it was fun to beat them up. And so I'm going to take you to, I don't have the moment that we're going to focus on, but this happens early in the game and starts the first of several brawls. In the game, Troy Aikman goes back. There's a whistle, but that doesn't stop the Eagles' defense. Whistle? No, no, no. Here you go.
Look at Grogan there. He's going in a stand. This is a real fight.
That was Jerome Brown that Grogan was going after. We need the Marcus of Queensbury here instead of Gene Barth.
Need a cage to put those guys in a cage match. They forgot it's Thanksgiving.
I apologize for the quality of sound. That's all that's kind of out there on the internet. But you heard it. The Eagles take a cheap shot on Troy Aikman, and mm-hmm. Gogan was the guard or the tackle. I forget.
He was the guard.
Yeah, and he goes nuts, and there a big fight ensues, and there you go. And then it gets uglier.
Yeah, him and Jerome square off.
Yeah, yeah. And Gogan's doing, like, you know, feinting and deking and. And acting like he's a real boxer.
Yeah, and meanwhile, they both still got their helmets on. Like, who's going to – what are you guys doing anyway?
Right.
Yeah, they sort of squared off, and then they kind of, like, didn't know how to end it. They was like, okay, now we've done it. Now what do we do?
So the Eagles just beat the Cowboys up in that game. They beat them, and they beat them up. But the story comes out later, really didn't get a lot of attention during the game, that the Eagles special teams and defensive players actually had a pool of money – and gave it out for big hits, decleaters, sacks, turnovers, shall we say a bounty. And it turns out, well, actually, you know what? Let me before we get into details of that, this is after the game. You're going to hear Jimmy Johnson after the game talking about these bounties, and then you're going to hear our pal Buddy Ryan responding in a TV studio interview. Here you go, cut to.
We were told last night by a coach, and it was confirmed by two different players. There's a $200 bounty on Luis Zendejas, a $500 bounty on Troy Aikman. That takes away from the integrity of the game.
Johnson, their coach, is making all kinds of excuses for not preparing his team well to play us. He also, I don't have any respect for him because he got my college on probation, Oklahoma State, and now he's at the Cowboys, and he doesn't have the guts to take credit for a loss. He's trying to blame the Philadelphia Eagles. And so I have no respect for the man at all. And I don't think if his friend had known the club, he wouldn't be back next year. I'm sure the coach. And I'm sure those players, those veteran players he has on that team, don't believe all that high school Charlie stuff he's spreading.
All right, well, first of all, let's admit that Jimmy Johnson turned out to be pretty good NFL coach.
I'd say.
All right.
He's in the Hall of, he's in the Hall of Fame.
All right. Well, so what I didn't know with the whole bounty thing is you got your fingers into this.
Yeah, well, it was. It really was all about Louis Zendejas is really what it was about. And the word had come out that when Buddy, you know, I guess we're going back in time, so I probably should explain. Louis Zendejas was with the Eagles, and Buddy Cutting,
150-pound kicker.
Yeah, and he was with the Eagles for a year or two, maybe. But anyway, Buddy decides he doesn't like him anymore, so cuts him and signs Roger Ruzak. And on his way out of town, Louis Zendejas sort of rips Buddy. And, well, that didn't sit well with Buddy at all. And so a few weeks down the road, now he gets claimed by the Cowboys, and now he's going to be kicking for the Cowboys against the Eagles on Thanksgiving Day. And then the word comes out that, lo and behold, that Buddy has put a bounty on Louis Zendejas, that he's going to give money, to actual money, to a player who is willing to take Louis out of the game. And now we found out later, Seth Joyner told me that the Buddy actually didn't put up any money. The bounty was internal. The players did it themselves.
Yes,
Yeah, the players, this wasn't Buddy's doing, although Buddy didn't mind taking credit for it.
Yeah, he never denied it.
He didn't mind taking credit for it, but it was really the players put the money together. But there actually was real money. And so here comes a kickoff, and Louis Zendejas kicks off. And out of nowhere comes this rookie linebacker named Jesse Small, who hits Louis Zendejas and just flattens him in the middle of the field. As cheap a shot as you're ever going to imagine. And Louis gets knocked out. In fact, he's so woozy, he actually starts going to the wrong sidelines. He starts heading to the Eagles bench. And after the game, then that's when all this stuff blows up, that there's reports about there's a bounty. They clearly went after Louis Zendejas. They target Louis Zendejas. Buddy and Jimmy Johnson get into a name-calling match over it. And so a couple weeks later, the rematch is like just a couple weeks later. It's like 3 weeks later, two, 3 weeks later, they're going to play again in Philadelphia this time. And the newspaper sent me down to Dallas to write a story about this rematch of the Bounty Bowl. That's how it becomes known as the Bounty Bowl by then. And I'm down there by myself from Philadelphia. And Jimmy Johnson sees me and drags me into his office to show me the tape of the Louis Zendejas play. And, you know, it's as clear as day that this is not a normal special teams play. That Jesse Small, from the second Louis kicks the ball, does nothing but draw on a straight line mm-hmm. right to Louis Zendejas. In fact, runs right by your good friend Bill Bates, who's the best special teams player on the Cowboys. If you're going to block anybody on their special teams, you're
going
to block number 40.
Jesse
runs right past Bill Bates and takes out Louis Zendejas, and Jimmy Johnson is saying, Do you see that? Is there any doubt that there's... And I had to say, no doubt in my mind, they clearly were going after Jesse Small. And then that's what happens. Then that's Sunday. The Cowboys come into Philadelphia. There's snow in the stands. The Cowboys come out for the game, and the fans start pelting Jimmy Johnson and pretty much any random cowboy with snowballs.
Yep.
That becomes like another big national story, sort of the second coming of Santa Claus.
Yes, and it was I cannot defend bad behavior, but Ray, God, it was a lot of fun. I want to play one more cut for you because this is on CBS in the pregame. Brent Musburger and Irv Cross decide to go to Mike Ditka for his opinion.
Uh-huh.
On all of this. And, of course, Buddy was the defensive coordinator under Mike Ditka when they won the Super Bowl.
Right.
There's always a sense that Ditka believed Buddy got too much credit for it. The players loved Buddy. So here's Ditka's response to Bounty Bowl One.
Didn't the Bears get involved with the Philadelphia Eagles on that Monday night? Wasn't there some gossip that there were bounties on you on the sideline and some of the Bear players against the Eagles?
Well, I didn't hear anything about that. I really don't know. That would seem much too constructive for him to be able to think of anything like that. But as far as a bounty on me, they don't have anybody tough enough to hurt me on their football team. And certainly they don't have a coach tough enough to hurt me.
God, right. Nobody,
those were the days.
No, right. Nobody does that stuff anymore. And the league, you know, I mean, you get 15 yards for wagging your finger.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Nobody does anything.
Stand over a guy and you point at him and you get 15 yards.
Right. So in a way, I appreciate and understand what our pal John Runyon, who's pretty much in charge of that,
mm-hmm.
is trying to do. On the other hand, God, that was a fun episode in history of the rivalry.
Oh, Buddy, and Buddy enjoyed every minute of it. Yeah. You know, Buddy came in at exactly the right time. Buddy came in at a time when the Cowboys were on their way down. They were on their way down in the last few years under Landry, and it took Jimmy Johnson a couple of years to get the thing rebuilt, and Buddy was the beneficiary of all of it because Buddy figured out right away how Philadelphia felt about the Cowboys. I mean, he knew that, you know.
Oh, I was there one night. I told you, he did a show at Ribbit. This is right when he started with Steve Fredericks, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was right when I started the Inquirer, like right when he started. And they said, go down and do a story on him doing this radio show and, you know, if he bonds with fans and just see what happens. And I remember there was a lady there with a T-shirt that said, I root for two teams, the Eagles and whoever beats the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
And the lady was filling out the T-shirt very well, which Buddy noticed.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to her, it was like, yeah, that's right, that's right. And he, like, made a big deal and was talking about it on the air and, like, that's it. You know, and it's like you knew right then. He had been here for, like, 3 weeks.
Right.
And, like, he got, like, the Cowboys are the enemy.
Yeah. Well, he didn't like the Cowboys anyway, even when he was in Chicago, because the Cowboys were kind of, I mean, they were riding the America's Team thing, and, mm-hmm. you know, that didn't sit very well with Buddy, and the Bears beat up the Cowboys pretty well, which he enjoyed. But then when he came to Philadelphia, and they were a division opponent, and then he became educated in the history of the rivalry, yeah, Buddy enjoyed every bit of that.
Hey, we got a special guest.
Huh.
May know a little bit about the Eagles' rivalries with the Giants and the Cowboys. The voice of the Eagles for four decades, our pal Merrill Reese. Merrill, what spurred you to join us today?
Well, I'm in the car and I'm listening to you, and I just had to add something about that return game. There was something else that happened that saddens me to this day. My very, very good friend was the Eagles quarterback coach, Doug Scoville, and that Saturday morning, he dropped dead in the exercise room. And that team was in a horrible mood that day.
You're talking about Bounty Bowl 2, right?
Yeah, the return game in Philadelphia.
Yeah, 3 weeks later.
Game.
Yeah.
Snowball game.
Yeah. Wow, I never made that connection. Yeah.
Yeah, we had been out on a California trip before that when we stayed off, and Doug and I would play tennis every day, and he seemed great. And he goes back, and the day before that game, that snowball game, Doug died suddenly in the exercise room.
Yep, I remember that. And if you remember, the Eagles played that Dallas game and then the rest of the year with a black band over the wing on the helmet.
Yes.
They put that on there in mourning for Doug Scoville, which, you know, Merrill, I mean, I'll ask you the question because a lot of people have asked me, if Doug Scoville had lived, what would the arc of Randall Cunningham's career have been? Because I think it would have been different. I mean, of all the coaches that Randall had in Philadelphia, I'm not even counting the Minnesota years, but the years he had in Philadelphia, Doug had a way of communicating with Randall that was unlike the other coaches on the staff.
You're absolutely right. He called him Dougie Fresh after a rap singer. But the other coordinator who had a great effect on Randall, and he had that great year with Minnesota, was Brian Billick. So when he had that great offensive coordinator who could really really work with him and get the most out of him, and make him prepare, Randall was at his best. But
yeah.
Buddy, the old saying was that Buddy told him to go out and make three big plays a game and we'll worry about everything else. And that was not good for Randall.
Right, and then they'd win 10 games in the regular season and get knocked out in the playoffs. Merrill, while we have you, how are you feeling about the arc of this current season, the quarterback, the coach? How are you feeling about things?
Well, I make no secret about the fact that I am very, very impressed with quarterback. I think he's terrific. I think he's getting better. And I think he has a future with this team. I really do. I think his passing, I think his arm strength is underrated. I think he's got plenty of arm, and I think he's learning, and he's dedicated, he's driven, and he's a winner. So I like him a lot. I think Nick Sirianni is learning a lot as the season goes on. He's a very easy coach to be around because he's so likable. And I'm excited about what we've seen in the last 2 weeks, but I say, wait a minute. That's two in a row, and a lot of people are already talking about playoffs and winning the division and all of that. Let's just take it game by game, because I think tomorrow is an extremely dangerous game, because you don't know which way the Giants are going to go after the change in offensive coordinators, and they have a lot of talent on that team. They have some playmakers on that team, so I don't think anything is a given.
Well, I think that that was kind of how we opened the show today. I was talking to Glenn. I said my biggest concern is not the matchups team to team, because I do think the Eagles are better than them right now, and in some areas significantly. But the one danger, I think, was all the buzz that I heard all week around the city was, you know, this run-the-table talk, and they're going to win every game, and boy, we got nothing but chump teams lined up here, and we're going to the playoffs. And, you know, the fans are certainly all in on this, and the fans have pretty much got this team into the postseason yet, but you and I have been around this game long enough to know that, I mean, as boring as it sounds, you got to play them one at a time.
You do, right? And this is the strangest year I can remember in the National Football League, where every week another team is anointed as the best team in the league, and that team goes down. I mean, Tennessee to lose to Houston last week was shocking.
Yep. Yeah, I don't know if you ask me right now who's the best team in the league, I don't know what I would tell you. I really don't. I mean, right now the Patriots are playing the best, but I don't know if they're the best team.
Yeah, right.
You never know. Green Bay at times looks like they're the best.
Yep.
And Tampa Bay was the best for a while, and now they're not any longer.
Right, and the Bills were. And Arizona
was. Everyone was saying Buffalo might be the team to beat in the AFC. And they've struggled. So there's only a best for the week.
That is correct.
Give out special teams players of the week or offensive player of the week. They could give out a team of the week, and it changes every week.
Well, there's only one broadcaster of the year, Merrill. That is you. We look forward to talking to you tomorrow during the pregame, listening to you and Mike, Eagles-Giants tomorrow, 1 o'clock kickoff. Thank you so much for checking in.
I just have to tell you, your show on Saturday morning is a must. You are both wonderful, and I wouldn't miss it.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Merle. Appreciate that.
Except on a warm golf day.
All right. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
See you, guys.
All right. There you go. The great Merrill Reese. All right, Ray, I got to get this guy in because, you know, I am in the Play Anything Goes last night.
Yes.
You know our friend Geary the ref?
Yes.
He was there.
Oh, how nice.
Yeah. And
Glenn,
joins us.
You were awesome.
Oh, you're very kind.
Ray, I'm telling you, this your partner is so talented. My wife was so joyful to be there. It was just a great experience. And let me tell you, to your listeners, if you want to see a good play, a professional, the people of Swarthmore Players, they do a great job. I was very impressed with them.
Thank you. Well, I play an old staggering drunk, Ray, so it's really not much of a reach, to be honest with you.
I can't wait. I'm coming next week.
Yeah.
Ray, you'll enjoy it. I mean, he even sings and dances.
So that's, I heard.
All right. Well, that's not going to sell tickets. I know that much.
what a great time.
Thank you. It was really nice to see you there. Thank you.
Nice to see your family also, and your dad looks great. And,
thanks.
You know, it was super. But it was my pleasure to be in the audience last night, and it was such a great time. So have a great holiday coming up, Glenn and Ray. You also with Christmas, and hopefully we'll see each other sooner than later.
You bet.
I hope so.
It was really nice to see you. It's like, you know, and you know this, there's so many people you haven't seen for a year and a half, 2 years, right?
Right.
And you think of them, but you just haven't seen them in so long. Geary, our friend, the ref, right? He would come out to remotes. We would see him. I'd run into him in town.
Mm-hmm.
He's a referee. I'd run into him at games.
Right.
But I hadn't seen him. So just seeing him and his wife last night at the play was great. I really enjoyed it. By the way, we are giving out tickets to the play I'm in, which is Anything Goes at the Players Club of Swarthmore. For tickets, go to pcstheater.org. Whoever wins today, there are 9 more performances. You can go to any of those performances of your choice. We're also giving out the $50 gift card to Scheib Sports.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, a couple of things to talk about today. One happy, one not so happy. Ray got to go to the premiere, the red carpet. Ray put on the tuxedo and went to, where'd they do this, Ray?
They did it at the AMC Theater at what they call Fashion District.
Well,
which is 10th
Fashion
and
District
and Chestnut.
Doesn't get more fashionable than that. And so a premiere of a movie, a sports bio. Not enough sports bios these days, so what'd you see?
I saw, it's called American Underdog, and it's the story of Kurt Warner. And I think anybody that's familiar with pro football knows the Kurt Warner story and knows if ever there was a story that was made for Hollywood, this is certainly it. Guy went to Northern Iowa, was not drafted into the NFL, signed as a free agent by the Packers, released, goes and plays arena football, is making so little money that he goes and works stocking shelves in a supermarket, has all sorts of personal history and side stories about the woman he falls in love with and her backstory and all the things that they go through that are a lot of it I knew, some of it I didn't know, and it makes the story all that much more compelling. But in any event, he gets the opportunity. He gets signed as a free agent by the St. Louis Rams, goes to St. Louis, is coached by Dick Vermeil. He's the backup quarterback. Trent Green gets hurt, and all of a sudden, Kurt Warner, this guy who was stocking shelves like a year before, is the starting quarterback for the Rams, and all he does is go on to win the MVP award and the Super Bowl. So, yeah, I mean, it's the kind of story that if a screenwriter had just sat down and invented it, you never could have gotten a studio to buy it. It was this is ridiculous. This could never happen.
Yeah.
It really did happen, and it's turned into – the movie is actually better than I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be a little hokey, but I thought it was quite good. I mean, an actor that I had not really seen before, a guy named Zachary Levy, is Kurt Warner, and he's quite good. He actually looks like Kurt Warner, and he moves and throws a ball like a guy who's played a little football. So he's credible in the part. Anna Paquin, who's only an Academy Award winner.
Yeah. Did they give her the spiked haircut?
They gave her the spiked. They gave her the spiked Brenda haircut. And so she plays Brenda Warner. And of course, Dick Vermeil is in this because Dick Vermeil is the coach of the team with St. Louis when Kurt Warner blossoms and becomes a Super Bowl MVP. And the part of Dick Vermeil, we saw him. Everybody who saw Invincible saw Greg Kinnear. As Dick Vermeil.
He was great.
He was really good.
You know what?
He was really good.
Second best actor in Invincible after you.
Well, I wasn't going to say that, but that's very kind.
Come
of
on. Your appearance in the leisure suit was spectacular.
It wasn't bad. I got to say that. Okay. But I thought that Greg Kinnear was very good as Dick Vermeil. And in this, now you have to bring Dick back as an older man because Invincible is 1976.
Yep.
You know, the Kurt Warner story is 20-plus years later.
Yeah.
So they brought back the Dick Vermeil in this film is Dennis Quaid.
Who's been in about half the sports movies ever made?
Who's been in?
He's all over our book that we wrote.
It's got to be 10 sports movies by now. And we saw him as Ben Schwartzwalder in the movie The Express.
Oh, that's right. He played the coach.
The Ernie Davis story. We saw him in that. We've seen him in all kinds of movies. We've seen him as players. We've seen him as boxers. We've seen him as the rookie. We've seen him in all that stuff. And he plays Dick Vermeil here. The character who comes off as the real bad guy in this is Mike Martz. And the screening that I went to this week was hosted by Dick Vermeil and Carol Vermeil. And after it was over, Dick picked up the microphone and answered some questions. And he says, listen, you know, Mike Martz really wasn't like that. But they felt like they kind of needed a heavy in the movie. So they sort of decided that Mike Martz was going to be the heavy. And the guy who played him was an actor named Chance Kelly. I got to say that if they wanted a heavy, they did it upright. But the movie itself is very entertaining. It sticks pretty close to the facts. And if you're looking for an inspirational movie that'll make you feel good, this is it. So it's not out yet. It's going to be coming out in right around Christmas Day is when it's going to open. But it's if you're a football fan and you know the Kurt Warner story and you're looking for a feel-good movie, I say check out American Underdog.
I like it. Okay. Also, very sad news broke yesterday. So, you know, I keep saying I'm going to play Anything Goes, and we're in the green room kind of getting ready to perform, and somebody says Stephen Sondheim died.
Right.
And among theater people, obviously, it was a big deal. Actually, after the show, everybody stayed on stage, and we sang one of his songs from Into the Woods. But I know you're a big theater goer. I'm sure this one hit you.
It hit me, and it hit my wife really hard. She just loves, loves, loves Stephen Sondheim. One of her most cherished possessions is a playbill autographed by Stephen Sondheim. One of her favorite plays, actually her favorite play before she saw Hamilton, it's now her second favorite play, is Sweeney Todd. She loves Sweeney Todd. She saw it like 6 or 7 times, and the last time she went was the final performance by Angela Lansbury. And so Maria waited around outside the theater to see the stars, and Stephen Sondheim came out, and she asked Stephen Sondheim for his autograph, and he signed the playbill and Angela Lansbury. So playbill is now framed and hanging in the entrance to our home. So she was very saddened by the passing of Stephen Sondheim, as anyone who loves the theater does. I mean, you look at his body of work: Company, Follies, A Little Night Music, Pacific Overtures, Sweeney Todd, Merrily We Roll Along. And the play that is my favorite play of all time, and I've seen a lot of them, but I still, Sunday in Park with George, to me, is just absolutely brilliant theater. And he also wrote the music for West Side Story, and he has two plays that are still running on Broadway. They're bringing back Company, and Assassins is playing there right now. That's his work. I thought that Hugh Jackman put it very well when he said, every so often someone comes along that fundamentally shifts an entire art form. And Steven Sondberg was one of those people. I think that's very accurately put.
Yeah, Sondheim was the Babe Ruth of this theater. Nicely done, Ray. What we're watching is sponsored by Guided Door and Window. Guided Door and Window, looking to hire experienced installers and service techs. If you're in search of a great career opportunity, call 1-877-GO-GUIDA or visit them at goguida.com. Kenny in the Northeast is with us, although it doesn't appear that the computer tells me.
Hello.
There he is. Hey, Ken.
Hello. Good morning, gentlemen.
Hi there.
Hello. The Eagles, for a moment, they're exactly where I picked them in the beginning of the season. I said, you know, they're going to get beat up the first half, and it's going to give them a little bit of a character to go into the second half. And they really control their own destiny, you know. It wouldn't surprise me if they could get in the playoffs, you know.
They could. They have an advantage over some of the teams that are in that wild card mix with them because they've already won a few of those games head-to-head. The one team that would be problematic for them, and it's a team that's coming on right now, are the 49ers. 49ers are starting to play good right now, and the 49ers have beaten the Eagles head-to-head. So if it comes down to a tiebreaker, they will have that. But the Eagles have it now over a couple of the other teams like the Saints and the Falcons. So, but they, you know, the thing is, they just, simple matter, they just have to take care of business. They got to go out and win football games. And yeah, starting with the game tomorrow.
Well, like you say, one game at a time. But, I mean, you know, this is a real good chance for them to build character of getting them wins behind them. Mm-hmm. And then taking that momentum from the last game into the next game into the next game, you know. Because, you know, I mean, the way he's playing exceptional well, but also what he went up against, you know, the weaknesses of the two tackles missing last week against New Orleans and everything else, you know?
Right.
But, I mean, You know, with these interdivision games, I've been watching the Eagles now for 62 years as a fan, and I know with these divisional games, anything's possible.
That is a very good point. We have seen in divisional games the better team lose, and nothing. Well, you and I are going to give our pick before we get off the air today, but nothing is given. I grant you that.
No.
Jack in Santa Barbara, what's up, dude?
Hey, happy Thanksgiving, guys.
And you
Same
too.
Here, Jack.
Yeah, it's all good. Hey, you did a great job caricaturing the offensive line. And so my question was, if they start stacking eight in the box, mm-hmm. which would mean that Goddard has to stay in and block, play that out for me, if you will, with the accuracy.
Yeah, that's a good. You know what? That's a good question. I'm glad he brought that up. So teams adjust, right? Mm-hmm. That's always what happens.
Mm-hmm.
If the Eagles run, teams are going to adjust. As he says, they'll put more in the box.
Sets up play action for you.
Sets up play action, and then
it's just a matter of, you know, your receivers are going to get open because there's going to be a lot of empty space up there. The play action fake will actually work because the way they're running the ball right now, teams have to. When he makes that motion that he's going to hand off, they have to believe he's going to hand off because of how successful it's been. So those linebackers have no choice other than to bite. So they're going to come up. They're going to get tangled up at the line of scrimmage. And then you got that big open space in the middle of the field that you can really exploit. And then it comes down to how good a passer is Jalen Hurts. Because he's probably going to have time in the pocket. And you're seeing that now. There are some times now when they run play action, he stands in the pocket and he can look. He's got all kinds of time. So he's going to have the time, and then it's just a matter of him making the throws. Is he going to be out when he gets that opportunity, when he has time to set his feet and he's got a receiver open 15, 20 yards down the field, can he lay it on the numbers? You know, because he's going to have that opportunity. That's how you're going to have to counter this. Because teams are going to have to, listen, they have no choice right now. I mean, they're going to have to stack the line. They're going to have to play the run first because that's what this team is right now. And then that opens up the other half of the playbook, and it's up to the quarterback to make the plays.
Well, there you go, Jack.
Well, you know, I remember Donovan's play fake. He had Westbrook to do it with, but that was pretty much the sweet spot of the Eagles' offense. And I'd like to see them embellish that and develop a screen game with him too.
Then we'd have
it all going on.
I love it, Jack. We got to run, but always good to hear from you. And it's all part of the development of the quarterback, right?
Oh yeah,
you can do this, but now you got to learn to do that when they adjust on this.
Yeah, the difference in the play action with McNabb was teams never really believed the fake because they always knew that the run was never exactly what Andy wanted to do. Every time they did that kind of play, they'd say, okay, they're not going to really hand off. If they did, they'd say, oh, geez, they handed off. All right, let's go make the tackle. But they never really sold out against the run the way they will have to now because clearly this is a run-based team. Andy's team never was.
Amazingly. Mark is with us. Hey, Mark.
Hello.
Hey. You want to talk about Jalen Hurts versus McNabb? What's your
yes,
thoughts there?
Yes. At the same stage, what does Ray think and what do you think about comparing the two? I think that right now Hurts is as good as McNabb. The only thing he doesn't have is McNabb's arm strength. And as far as accuracy, McNabb, if it was illegal to kill worms, McNabb would still be in jail.
Well, I'm going to take McNabb in that debate. If you remember McNabb in his second year, I think he was an MVP candidate. But, Ray, I'll let you answer this. Young McNabb versus young Jalen Hurts.
We're talking year two. Is that kind of what we're talking about?
Yes.
Okay.
And McNabb played, what, 6-7 games his first year, and then he started his second year?
Hurts is a better runner.
Yep.
McNabb was a better passer. He was. I mean, everybody remembers the underthrown balls, and you know,
right.
and you know, listen, he threw some of those, but he was more accurate on a consistent basis than Hurts is now. Now Hurts can get better, and I think you're actually seeing him get better. I mean, you look at his completion percentage from last year was 52%, just barely 52%, and right now he's in the 60s. So he's already 10% better passer this year than he was last year. And it seems to me that he's improving by the week. So, you know, I think we haven't yet seen – I don't know if he's going to be as good ultimately over time as a quarterback, as a thrower, as McNabb was? Because you look at his career, it was pretty good. But right now, you know, I'll give Hurts the edge in running, and I would have to say right now I'd have McNabb the edge in passing.
Total potential?
Total potential? Probably a higher ceiling with McNabb.
That's what I think. Hey, if Jalen Hurts is close to the career McNabb had, I will be delighted. I like Jalen Hurts a little bit, and McNabb got a lot of criticism when he was here, but McNabb ended up probably being the best quarterback of this franchise had in the last 50 years, right?
Yeah, I think the best since Van Brocklin.
Which is 60 years.
Yep.
Okay. 215-592-9494. Coming up at noon, tell us your story with Mark Howe. Ray and Glenn brought to you by the Casino Delaware Park here at the 1937 Brewing Company. Locally crafted IPA, stouts, lagers, and more right here at the 1937 Brewery inside Delaware Park, online at Ray Didger, Glenn Macnow. Ray, I know you're leaving here. You got a book signing today?
I do. A book signing today at the Barnes & Noble in Montgomeryville, which is up in North Wales,
nice.
Right there on Knapp Road. Very nice place. I've been there many times. Going back there today, I will be there from 4 to 6 today, signing copies of Finished Business, my recent book, and I'm sure they'll also have copies of Eagles Encyclopedia. So if anybody wants to get a jump on Christmas shopping, we'll be there to take care of you.
All right. This is where we check in with our doctors from Cooper Bone and Joint. Dr. David Gelt is with us today. Doc, how are you?
Pretty good. Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
And
same to you,
Doctor.
Too.
You have a nice one with your family?
Yeah, it was very nice. It was good to see some people after a couple of years of COVID, so it was nice.
Felt exactly the same way. So, Doc, we have a riddle of a conundrum of an issue here today, which as of yesterday, I didn't check today whether this was updated, but Devian Taylor, the Eagles' young linebacker, left last week's game with a knee.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Which the Nick Sirianni said was a sprained knee. And then on Wednesday, he had surgery. And I guess my question is, they hadn't updated it as of yesterday. Do you get surgery for a sprained knee? Is that a thing?
Well, I mean, it can be. It depends on, you know, I assume that they got the MRI and then they saw the results of that. And anyway, I think he had an injury in the same knee in the past, so I don't know if he re-aggravated that, but could have had more than just a sprain. Could be a little tear there, too, which most likely they probably cleaned up, because I think they said he could be back by the end of the season, so maybe like a meniscus or something of that sort.
Yeah, all right. I just, again, they had not updated it, and so I don't really know more than
that. Yeah, I'm not sure either.
All right, so. Well, that's it. The good news is the Eagles are relatively healthy. So we love having you, but some weeks.
Got to run the ball.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Doc, your strategy for the Eagles offense is?
Run the ball.
There you go.
There you go. Speaking my language here, Doctor. I like it.
There you go.
All right.
But just want to wish you luck on Break a Leg, Glenn, during your show.
You know, when an orthopedist tells you to break a leg, it's a little different than somebody else does.
You're supposed to say that, though, aren't you?
You are. Well, most people are, but again, you're an orthopedist, so it makes me.
It makes it look like you're drumming up business, frankly, but that's okay.
I'm trying not to mush it.
All right, Dr. Gelt, you're the best. We always love talking
to you. All right, guys.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
All right, Ray, there you go. You know what? Why don't you tee up the Mark Howe, tell us your story.
Well, Mark Howe was one of the great players in the history of this franchise when you look at it. And a big part of his story, and we get into it, was what was it like to grow up as the son of Gordie Howe? What was it like to grow up as the son of the greatest player in the history of the National Hockey League. And some people still debate that he was better than Gretzky. Gretzky says he was. But Mark Howe, that was his father growing up. And then he had the opportunity, the amazing opportunity, to actually play with his father later on in the World Hockey League, where they played on the same line together. And then Mark Howe, then Gordy finally retires, and Mark goes on and has a brilliant career of his own, starting off in Hartford and then coming to Philadelphia and then becoming, I think, fair to say, the best defenseman in Flyers history. I would say so.
No doubt.
Yeah, I think so. And you think he was a Norris Trophy finalist three times.
Yeah, we get into it in the interview. Lost to guys who are Hall of Fame
as
all.
Yeah. But a great, great player, played forever, and comes from the Howe family. It's a great story to be told, and Mark Howe, as I recall, tells it very well.
That is coming up.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.